Well, we have been studying about the Lord's Prayer for the last few weeks. And last week I began to talk about the prayer for forgiveness. And even though forgiveness is a very simple prayer, like, "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors," that is found in verse 12 in Matthew chapter 6. It's a very short verse. It seems to be a very short and brief prayer, but we know that it does have a lot of implications and applications as well. So that's why we studied last week, but we were not able to finish it up last week. And this week we are going to continue on that particular theme. And more or like, we are going to study the scriptures today. We're going to find a lot of scripture references in order to understand within what context, within what ways, the forgiveness or forgiven, those vocabularies are used in the scriptures, and hopefully we'll be able to find some implications from those references. And obviously there has to be some very important applications. As we study about forgiveness, we do not want to just make this particular lesson theoretical practice, but we want to have some practical learning and implications, and we trust that we'll be able to learn something out of this particular prayer. And I realize that I want to be able to finish everything that I want to share with you today. So next week there will be a finer message on forgiveness. And so I hope that next week you will come and join us in order to know the comprehensive understanding or the teachings of God's forgiveness and our forgiveness toward other people by listening to all these three messages last week and this week and next week. And next week I'm going to deal with more practical side of forgiveness, and I'm going to study on Matthew chapter 6 verse 12 more in depth next week. So today's study is going to be more comprehensive. I'm going to cover basically the whole scriptures in order to find the meanings of forgiveness. I'm very pleasantly surprised, by the way, that the Lord Jesus has taught his disciples about prayer. If we just read through the Lord's Prayer, as we can find from Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 to 12, basically, 13, we do not find any difficult word or theological jargon that we cannot comprehend. It seems to be a very simple prayer. The simplicity is a remarkable feature of this prayer. Even though the Lord is the Lord of knowledge, he knows all things and obviously understands everything, but however, he was able to convey, he was able to teach his own disciples concerning prayer in the simplest way. And simplicity is a part of the characteristics of this prayer. Verse 12 says in Matthew chapter 6, "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." Even though this prayer is very simple, but we must understand that the simplicity of this prayer or this petition does not mean any simplicity of its application. There are complicated issues related to forgiveness, such as how to forgive, when to forgive, what to forgive, and whom to forgive. And also, if you want to know the depth of the importance of forgiveness, we should be able to know what it means by not forgiving. So sometimes, by knowing the opposite concept, we may be able to understand the concept of the word that we are trying to study. As a part of the introduction to this message, let us think of some of those complications by studying a few points. Last week, we studied the word definitions of forgiveness. Basically, it means three things. So number one, it means to overlook an offense and treat the offenders as not guilty. Number two, it means to cease to feel resentment. Number three, it means as a result, to give up claim to retribution upon an offender. This definition of forgiveness indicates or includes our mental, psychological, and practical involvements in the act of forgiving. And also, there are problems. For example, all the implications of the definitions of forgiveness indicate that we ought to treat those people who have offended us better than they deserve. Thus, our reason challenges our minds, and we begin to think that it is very unreasonable to treat such people better than they deserve. Thus, we refuse to forgive those individuals. As a result, we think that it is not fair, it is not just to let them go freely without being punished. If we relate this concept to real happenings in the world, we may have better ideas. If a drunken driver hits your child, and your child becomes disabled for life, how would you feel about the driver? And what sort of emotional reactions you are going to get toward that person? If a man forces himself to break into your house just for a petty cash, and he killed your dear wife, how would you feel? If a reckless young man shot at you and you lost one eye, but he was able to get away from any jail term, how would you feel? All these examples, by the way, illustrations are based on real accidents or real events we can find from the newspapers. And over the years, I have been able to read. These are the real events. Or when you have to urgently travel to complete a very important business contract, and when you get to the airport, you just find out that the airline is on strike, and somehow you could not find any other alternate way to travel. As a result, it costs you a very important contract. As a result, your business is suffering. How would you feel? If your son's best friend collaborated with criminals, and your son's best friend eventually with the criminals harmed your own son, how would you feel about that person? Though you are innocent, someone conspired to put you in jail, but that person seems to enjoy every luxury you can think about. Someone has humiliated you even before your own teenage child. How would you feel? Your only daughter was sexually abused mercilessly. Are you going to forgive such a merciless person who committed such a heinous crime? Since the time of Saint Augustine, who lived in the 4th and 5th, basically 5th and 4th, 6th centuries, since the time of Saint Augustine, people have said that we must hate sin, but not the sinners. Is it really a possible proposition? Can we consider that the character of the sinner is only accidentally connected with the hatefulness of his action? Thus, we can just let him go? Can we really separate sin from sinners? This is only one side of the challenges when we have to study about forgiveness, and some of those parts will be dealt with next week. And I cannot deal with everything today. On the other hand, we also need to know what it means not to forgive. What is implied when we refuse to forgive? In order to understand what it means by forgiveness, I thought its antonyms might give us some good clues and ideas about it. And the antonyms of forgiveness are, number one, accusation, blame, censure, charge, condemnation, punishment, or sentence. They are the antonyms of the word forgiveness. These antonyms show general attitudes of those people who refuse to forgive. They express disapprobation. They find fault. They oppose to praise or commend. They reprehend. They consider to inflict any pain or suffering on a person for a crime or offense. Thus, they consider retaliation or retribution. I have an opportunity to explain to you about it more in detail later. The Greek word for forgive, used in Matthew chapter 6, verse 12, as a part of the Lord's Prayer, occurs 146 times in the King James Bible, and out of which 47 times it is translated as forgive, and other times it is being translated as let go, send away, give up, cancel, pardon, or remit. And they are the different ways to translate the particular Greek word. So let us study about the uses of the word forgiveness in the Bible. What does it mean to forgive or to be forgiven? So let me begin with the biblical understanding of forgiveness. As a part of this study, I had to go through a lot of scripture references that have the word forgive, or another word, forgiven. And there are so many different forms of the word forgive. If we want to study, for example, we can study about forgiving, forgiven, or forgiveth, or forgiveness and forgivenesses, so singular and plural. And there are so many references we can study about. However, I decided to study just the two words from the scriptures, and they are forgive and forgiven. And I went through all those references in the scriptures and how many times they occur in the Bible and in within what context they are being used, so that as we study the whole references within the context, we'll be able to know what it means to forgive or what it means to be forgiven. We turn to those words, forgive and forgiven, in the Bible. And forgive and forgiven occur. Those two words occur 101 times in 88 verses. And we are going to study the context of those verses in order to understand what it means by forgiveness. Number one, forgiveness must be sought from men. So men should be able to ask for forgiveness when they are convicted of their wrongs. They cannot put them aside. When we are sinning against God or when we are sinning against a man, we cannot just put them aside somewhere. We cannot hide them, but we are to ask for forgiveness. And this is one of the most important, interesting examples of in the scriptures, which is Genesis chapter 50, verse 17. Genesis 50, verse 17 says, "So shall ye say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil, and now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father." And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. Probably, if you have read the scriptures, in fact, if you have studied with Brother Joey, last time, you must have known this context very well. Joseph's brethren were very unkind to him. As a result, they had done a lot of wrongs against him. Later on, Joseph was actually the helper and the rescuer and deliverer of their families from their miseries and difficulties and so on. So here we go. They are under the care of their brother Joseph, and finally their father Jacob died. And so brethren began to feel terrified. Our father was here before, and because of our father, Joseph did not do anything against us, even though we had sinned against him. Now our father is gone, therefore he's going to take his vengeful and angry spirit against us, and he's going to revenge us. Therefore, they went to Joseph and they said, "Please forgive." And when they were concerned about the potential reprisal from Joseph, they were afraid and they are asking for forgiveness. In this particular case, a matter of forgiveness was discussed between men. Matthew 18 verse 21 says, "Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times." Well, Matthew 18 verse 35 says, "So likewise shall my heavenly Father do as also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one of his brother their trespasses." This context says that if you do not forgive your brothers from your own heart, not just with lips, but from your heart, if you do not forgive, then God, your heavenly Father, is not going to forgive you. And Mark chapter 11 verse 26 says, "But if we do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses." So our forgiveness for the offenders against us is directly related to God's forgiveness against our trespasses. It is interesting. There are a couple of things I think we need to consider. Sometimes, professing believers of God, Christians are saying something like this. Well, I have sinned. That's right. You know, I have done terrible things. Thus, I have asked the Lord to forgive my sins. Therefore, I do not have to ask for your forgiveness. And sometimes, so-called super spiritual people are saying that, well, my relationship is directly related to my God. If God has forgiven me, that's okay. You know, you do not have to forgive me. I do not have to ask you for your forgiveness. And that is not true. We must be able to confess our sins to man if we have sinned against man. And so man and man relationship is equally important, you know, as the relationship between God and man. So if someone is looking onto the vertical relationship between God and man as important matter, then that person must take this human-to-human relationship seriously. There are a couple of things we need to consider. The reason for forgiveness, according to all those references we have read, is this. Because there are trespasses and sins and evil things done unto our brothers and others. And so that's why we need to ask for forgiveness. And there are always the two parties in this forgiveness business. One party is begging for forgiveness, and the other party is conferring and granting the forgiveness necessary. The primary meaning of the Hebrew word for forgiveness or forgive is to lift up, to bear up or take and carry away. Two, forgiveness may be sought after God. Exodus chapter 10 verse 17 says, here is Pharaoh's plea to Moses. Now therefore forgive, I pray thee, my sin only this once, and entreat the Lord your God that he may take away from me this death only. Pharaoh is requesting to Moses and Aaron to ask for God's forgiveness on his behalf. Very unfortunately, he was insincere at the time. And Exodus 32 verse 32 says, yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. There was a time when God was really angry with the children of Israel because of their disobedience, because of their sins against God. And here Moses is praying on behalf of his own people, the children of Israel, for God's forgiveness. So we need to ask God for forgiveness. So when we are talking about forgiveness of our sins, we are not simply talking about our offenses, our wrongs against man, but there is a problem between man and God. So as we are asking man for his forgiveness, we must ask God for his forgiveness. Three, the fact that we need forgiveness indicates that forgiveness cannot be just simply given away and naturally, automatically produced in certain situations. Forgiveness requires an atonement of sin. Leviticus chapter 4 verse 20 says this. It is quite interesting. You know, a lot of people, I think, do not like to read the book of Leviticus. Because if you begin to read the book of Leviticus, it talks about burnt offerings. It talks about trespass offerings and sin offerings. And you bring this animal, that animal, how to slaughter the animal. You know, you have to shed its blood and sprinkle the blood and burn them and so on. And so some people do not like it. But in fact, it is very interesting, though. The book of Leviticus is a book of guidance. Because God is holy and man is sinful, man is not able to access to God at any time whenever he wants to come. When man comes to God, he must be able to come to God's presence with God's own terms, not with man's own terms. Children of Israel were the people of God. And to them, God has given them the instructions, as we can find from the book of Leviticus. And these chapters in the book are teaching us how to access to God. That's why the book of Exodus, you know, Leviticus is a very important book. It teaches us how to come to the presence of God. And here we go. Leviticus chapter 4 verse 20 says this. And he shall do with the bullock as he did with the bullock for a sin offering, so shall he do with this, and the priest shall make an atonement for them, and it shall be forgiven them. So in other words, sin problem has to be dealt with. You cannot just hide it under the carpet. And so one of the greatest truths in the scripture is that sin shall find you if you do not deal with it. And so sin requires atonement, and it has to be dealt with. There are two lessons to learn. Number one, the fact that forgiveness requires an atonement means that it cannot be hidden in secret or just forgotten. You know, I have done these bad things. I'll just forget about them. You know, I do not want to be bothered and disturbed by those things. And I do not let my conscience disturb me because of those offenses I made. Well, and I will just forget about it. Well, it doesn't work that way. Sin has to be dealt with in order to be forgiven. Until sins are forgiven, sins are still there. Whether we try to forget it, try to hide them. That's why Proverbs chapter 17 verse 9 says this. He that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. Well, I think I put a wrong reference here. I'm sorry. I'll have to find a better reference later on. Sorry about that. This verse is not a good one. Here is a New Testament application. 1 John chapter 1 verses 9 and 10 say this. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, if someone says, you know, I do not have to deal with the sins because I have never sinned, then scripture says if we say that we have not sinned, we make our God a liar, and besides that, his word is not in us. Another lesson is this. The fact that forgiveness requires an atonement indicates that there is a price to pay for forgiveness. We may be forgiven freely, but behind the scenes, Jesus had to pay for the price. That's why he died on Calvary's cross. For forgiveness depends on God's mercy alone. Forgiveness is not going to be granted simply because we have reached the perfection or perfect state or maturity or because we do not have any possibility to sin anymore. No, they are not the grounds of our forgiveness. It is because we are forever imperfect. No one has to condemn us as that we are sinners. In fact, that condemnation against our own wrongs and our own offenses and sins comes from our very inner man, inner being. The conscience disturbs us. Conscience convicts us that we are sinful. We are unclean people. Our desires and our sometimes motives are unclean. And all those things, no one has planted them into our hearts. But even though no one has done it, somehow they are coming from my own heart. That is a problem. That's why forgiveness cannot be granted by the fellow man even. Perfect forgiveness that comes from God's mercy. That's why Numbers 14 verse 19 says, pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people according unto the greatness of thy mercy. And as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. Deuteronomy 21 verse 8 says, be merciful, O Lord, unto thy people Israel, whom thou hast redeemed, and lay not innocent blood unto thy people of Israel's charge, and the blood shall be forgiven them. Psalm 85 verse 9, verse 5, 86 verse 5 says, for thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. There are at least two lessons we may consider here. The first lesson is this. The reason that forgiveness depends on God's mercy is because fundamentally every sin is against Him. Every sin is against God. If I lie to somebody, it's not just a sin to that person alone, but God, who has heard our lies, He is offended. So that's why when King David confessed his own sin of adultery, he said in Psalm 51 verse 4, "Against thee, thee only, have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest." The second lesson is this. The reason that forgiveness depends on God's mercy is because God is not obligated to forgive us. We cannot demand God to forgive us. God does not have any obligation to forgive us. If He forgives us, it is because He's merciful. No one is able to demand God for forgiveness. If there is any obligation that God has, in fact, probably He's obligated to uphold His justice, which means when we sin, God will have to judge and punish us. Thus, forgiveness cannot be separately sought after apart from the mercies of God. It means that forgiveness we receive from God is not through our right, but through God's divine mercy. That's why we cannot but give thanks unto God whenever we think of God's forgiveness. This very thought is a hindrance to our sinful nature. When we sin again, we will feel really bad. If a professing Christian, if somebody says he's a believer of God, but he sins and he takes any pleasure out of his own sins, he does neither know nor understand what it means to be forgiven. Probably he does not understand the depth of the sacrifice or the price that Jesus had to pay for his sins. 5. Forgiveness must be understood in the light of the character of God. Joshua chapter 24 verse 19 says, "And Joshua said unto the people, ye cannot serve the Lord, for he is an holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins." Here, Joshua is giving a warning to his own people. You know, he's about to die. So he will have to leave them alone, and he will not be able to lead the people anymore. So here is a warning that he has given to his own people. God is holy. That's why he will not forgive your sins and transgressions. He gives them a warning. The reason that we need to seek after God's forgiveness is because God is holy and God hates sins. The magnitude of the importance of forgiveness depends on God's perfect and impeccable holiness. Sinners will not be dealt with according to their own judgment or self-appraisers. And quite often people say, you know, you Christians are trying to convince me that I'm a sinner before God. But as I am examining my own life, honestly and sincerely, I cannot see any problem in my life. And I cannot say that I'm a sinner. You know, think about it. I haven't stolen really anybody's belongings. And I haven't killed anybody. And because of my words or speeches or lies and so on, no one got hurt. Therefore, can't you see, according to my own measurement, I can see that I'm a righteous man and I'm a righteous woman. Therefore, I cannot accept your proposition that I'm a sinner. It is because they are measuring themselves based on their own measurement. And it really matters how good that measurement is. If we have to judge ourselves, measure ourselves based on our own measurement subjectively, then I think everybody seems to be a good person. Then why is there a crime? why the society suffers with such a level of depravity and corruption. If everybody says, based on my own measurement, I'm a good person. You know, I rarely have met people who evaluated themselves as sinners. And because I have been in ministry for some time, I did have some opportunities even to visit the prison cells. And quite interestingly enough, until they are truly convicted, not too many people are saying that they are in the prison because they are sinners. Based on our own measurement, we may think that we are good people. But the thing is this. The matter of the fact is that the measurement is not our own subjective measurement, but it is God's holiness. So in the light of God's holiness, we are found to be guilty. The truth that the holy and righteous God forgives sinners should not be counted lightly. The truth that the Lord sees us and declares us to be righteous is only a divine mystery explained only in the blood of Jesus. Sixth, God hears prayers for forgiveness. So there is an availability to be forgiven. For our forgiveness, there is a provision. And God wants to forgive. Some people say, God must be very harsh. Why is He sending people to hell? Why there is such a thing like a divine judgment? And why we have to worry? We have to be worried about eternal condemnation and damnation in the fiery hell. And why? If God is good. Well, God is good. That's why He has given us all the necessary provisions for our forgiveness. He wants to forgive. But we do not want to be forgiven. 1 Kings chapter 8 verse 30 says, this is a part of King Solomon's prayer. He said, and hearken thou to the supplication of thy servant and of thy people Israel, when they shall pray toward this place, and hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, when thou hearest, forgive. That's what Solomon prayed. 1 Kings 8:34 says, then hear thou in heaven and forgive the sin of thy people Israel, and bring them again unto the land which thou gavest unto their fathers. 1 Kings 8:36, then hear thou in heaven and forgive the sin of thy servants and of thy people Israel, that thou teach them the good way wherein they should walk, and give rain upon thy land which thou hast given to thy people for an inheritance. 1 Kings chapter 8 verse 50 says, and forgive thy people that have sinned against thee, and all their transgressions wherein they have transgressed against thee. So when we pray for forgiveness by faith, He forgives. If God is harsh, then obviously He should have never given us any provisions to be forgiven. But He made all the necessary preparations. James chapter 5 verse 15 says, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. So forgiveness is available. 7. However, God's forgiveness seems to be conditional. Some people probably do not like it. It has to be automatically granted to everybody, some people think. Well, 2 Chronicles 7 verse 14 says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear them from heaven, and forgive their sin, and will heal their land. 1 John chapter 1 verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. Numbers 30 verse 5 says, but if her father disallow her in the day that heareth, it is talking about young girls making vows before God. And those vows are known to the father, their fathers later on, and their fathers can make a decision. No, you are not supposed to make such vows. Then those vows can be cancelled. However, if the fathers do not say anything and or say yes in a positive way, then those vows will have to be upheld and so on. So that's the background. And with that background, it says, but if her father disallow her in the day that he heareth, not any of her vows or of her bonds wherewith she hath bound her soul shall stand, and the Lord shall forgive her because her father disallowed her. God is judging the ones who are accountable. Sin must be confessed and refused. That's why repentance is required for forgiveness. 8. What need to be forgiven are sins, transgressions, and iniquities. So Psalm 25 verse 18 says, look upon mine affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins. And there are some more verses you can read at home. 9. There are causes that may keep people from being forgiven. There are some causes not to be forgiven. Jeremiah 18 verse 23 says, yet, Lord, thou knowest all their counsel against me to slay me. Forgive not their iniquity, neither blot out their sin from their sight, but let them be overthrown before thee. Deal thus with them in the time of thine anger. Well, here is the situation. Jeremiah was falsely accused, and some people were trying to make a plot to kill Jeremiah over and over again and again. So they are making intentional sins. Purposefully, they are sinning against him and his God. So they are continually evil without repentance, without repenting of their sins. Forgiveness is not automatic. 10. God's forgiveness is perfect. This is quite an interesting point. It sounds like sometimes our forgiveness is not perfect. We say, I forgive. Then still, there is a lingering remembrance in our minds. And then later on, sometimes when we feel good, it seems that we have forgotten them. But sometimes when we feel bad, then we begin to think about some sort of actions to revenge. So sometimes our forgiveness seems to be imperfect. But God's forgiveness is perfect. Jeremiah chapter 31 verse 34 says, and they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me. From the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity. Then he says this, I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. This is a remarkable description or declaration of God's forgiveness. The last part of the verse is really striking. We know that God is all-knowing God. Nothing can escape from His divine knowledge. So nothing can escape from His divine knowledge. However, God says, He promises that He's not going to remember what He has forgiven. It is almost like God's self-repudiation of Him, of His character. He knows all things, obviously. However, He says, I'm not going to remember that part, the sins that I have forgiven you. This is God's self-declaration and revelation that may give us a different picture of God. Thus, freedom can be felt and finally enjoyed when God forgives us. 11. Divine punishment is one of the ways that God prepares the sinners to be forgiven. Because sometimes until we are hit, until we are chastised, we just do not know how to return to God. So oftentimes, the people of God, if you listen to the Christian, professing Christians' testimonies, you will find quite often many of them were brought into Christian faith through their trials, through their difficulties, through their afflictions and painful events in their personal lives. Jeremiah chapter 36 verse 3 says this, "It may be that the house of Judah will hear all the evil which I purpose to do unto them, that they may return every man from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin." It is an interesting one. You know, we are going to study about Jeremiah this evening. And I hope that you will be here. I think you need to learn something from Jeremiah. His life, his message is extremely important for all of us. And so I was trying to make just one message concerning Jeremiah's faith, but I couldn't do it. So I'm going to take another message in order to speak about Jeremiah next week. And I hope that you will come and listen tonight. Jeremiah was a weeping prophet because of the sins of Judah, because of the messages from God, that he knew that the nation of Judah was going to be completely destroyed. He knew it. And God made a plan that Judah was going to be destroyed because of their sins. And so there is a plain statement here we can find concerning God's plan, why God was doing something against Judah. Here we go. "It may be that the house of Judah will hear all the evil which I purpose." This is "I" is referring to God. God purposes to do unto them. There is a reason why. "That in order that," that's the purpose, "in may, that they may return every man from his evil ways, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin." Because God wants to forgive, sometimes hardships are coming on our ways. And also, it is true that forgiveness of sin does not mean that the forgiven will not suffer with the consequences. Sometimes we say, well, you know, I'm already forgiven, therefore, there should not be any consequence. For example, here is a man who borrowed some money from me. And, you know, he doesn't pay the money back. And he's saying, well, don't you think you should forgive me? Because you're a Christian, you know, you're a God lover. Therefore, you know, you should just cancel my debt and you have to forget about it. Well, we may forgive, we may be even willing to forgive that person's evil intention and evil heart. However, even though we say, yes, I forgive you, but that person is responsible to pay the money back. There is a consequence if he's not going to do it. In certain situations, I'm not talking about every part, you know, possible situation, but there are consequences. So this part we're going to deal with next week. Constance, you cannot be here, you know. You need to listen over the internet. And Evelyn too. The forgiven sinner may not suffer eternal condemnation, but in this temporal life, he may suffer with consequences. There are consequences. 12. Forgiveness is for the glory of God. Daniel 9 verse 19 says, "O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake, O my God. For thy city and thy people are called by name. For the sake of the name of God, for his honor and glory, God forgives." 1 John chapter 2 verse 12 says, "I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven." It is interesting. It says, "I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven." Then it says, "Your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake." For his name's sake. It means that God wants to forgive us. Thus, we must know that sins are not forgiven only when we do not want to be forgiven. The reason that God does not forgive us is because we refuse to be forgiven. The unforgiven ones are in that state because of their choice. God desires to forgive. 13. Forgiveness by God is a prerequisite to man's survival. So Amos 7 verse 2 says, "And it came to pass that when they had made an end of eating the grass of the land, then I said, O Lord God, forgive, I beseech thee, because of the sins of the children of Israel. God punished them. As a result, they suffered so much. And Amos prayed here, I beseech thee, by whom shall Jacob arise? By whom will Israel rise again? Well, only by God. Then forgiveness must be granted. And so with the repentance, we need to return to God for the restoration. To the soul that has not obtained the divine forgiveness, only receives the divine wrath. That's what Amos passage says. 14, sins can be forgiven. Matthew 9:2 says, and behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven. So our sins can be forgiven. This forgiving power is God's prerogative. 15, Jesus has the power to forgive sins. Matthew 9:6 says, but that ye know that the Son of Man, Jesus, hath power on earth to forgive sins. That's why we come to Jesus by faith, believing and trusting in Jesus. And in the name of Jesus, we ask for the forgiveness of sins. And there are verses I mentioned. I hope that you will read them. 16, forgiveness is not boundless. There are boundaries even for God's forgiveness. Some people say that the love of God will bring all men to heaven because God is love. He cannot send anybody to hell. However, the scripture says that there is a sin that cannot be forgiven. Matthew 12:31 says, wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. Matthew 12:32 says, and whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world. Listen, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. So there are sins that will not be forgiven forever, even in eternity. That is a fearful thing. And we must know that not all men are the objects of God's forgiving grace. There is also a time to be forgiven. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 6:2, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Repentance and prayer are important parts for our forgiveness. Therefore, when we have time, opportunities, we need to be forgiven by God. And that particular passage, you know, Matthew 12:31-32, unpardonable sins passage, I'm going to deal with it as we are going to study throughout this gospel. Okay? 17, it is God who forgives. I hope that we understand this. It is God who forgives. We do not forgive ourselves, but it is God who forgives us. Thus, there will not be any eternal condemnation against us. Colossians 2:13 says, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. If we relate this teaching to the Lord's Prayer, especially Matthew 6:12, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, I think we'll be even more convinced that we ought to forgive others, and God forgives us, and in the same way we need to forgive other people. It is a good example that our vertical relationship with God influences on our horizontal relationship with other people. That's why Christians must be loving and caring people, forgiving people. We do not harbor bitterness in our hearts. As a result, we are thinking about way to revenge. We do not do it. Okay. Why we should not do it, that part of implication I will deal with next week. Then, just quickly, let me talk about some relevant issues, just to set some foundational stage for next week's talk. Relevant issues. First, God's forgiveness does not promote an idea of universalism. Some people expect that God will forgive all mankind. Thus, any concept of God's divine justice or eternal punishment is very strange and very foreign to them. The loving God, they say, should not punish anybody because he has to be love. They say that God is the Father of all and he is the creator of all men. Therefore, a creator should not destroy his own creation. Thus, they say all men will be saved. However, such a notion is only a misunderstanding of the nature of God's forgiveness. As we have already seen, forgiveness is based on God's own nature. Thus, he desires to forgive, and he requires men to repent of his sins. Isaiah 55 verse 7 says, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And they let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Ezekiel 18 verse 21 says, "But if the wicked will turn from all his sins that he hath committed, and keep all my statutes, and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live, he shall not die." And there is another passage in Hosea chapter 14 and 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verses 9 and 10 say this, "For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." In other words, in order to enter into the kingdom of God, there has to be a repentance. There has to be a turning point. So we must turn from these wrongs, then turn to this God, living God. Therefore, let us remember that forgiveness is not for everybody. If anyone refuses to be forgiven, forgiveness is not be will not be given to that person. It is not an automatic kind of a deposit into our account. We need to ask for it. Second, God's forgiveness is not offered for willful and intentional sins. You know, some people say, "Well, God forgives, you know. If I sin against him, if I sin against somebody, then I'll pray to God, God forgive me, then he's going to forgive me. Therefore, it really doesn't matter what sort of lifestyle I have, you know, what sort of pleasure I'm having in this life. Therefore, you know, God is obligated to forgive me if I repent. Therefore, I will say, I repent." However, God's forgiveness is not offered for willful and intentional sins. In fact, this particular aspect has been known as high hands or high sins. And Numbers 15 verse 30. Maybe you may want to find a couple of verses together with me today as I'm going to conclude the message. Numbers 15 verse 30. Okay, let's read the verse together, shall we? "But the soul that doeth aught presumptuously, whether he be born in the land or a stranger, the same reproacheth the Lord, and that soul shall be cut off from among his people." It is talking about presumptuous sin, intentional, willful sins. Deuteronomy 17 verse 12 says, "And the man that will do presumptuously and will not hearken unto the priest that standeth to minister there before the Lord thy God, and unto the judge, even that man shall die, and thou shalt put away the evil from Israel." Would you like to read Hebrews chapter 6? That may be the last passage we want to read. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 to 6. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 to 6. Okay? Hebrews 6, 4 to 6. Let's read it together. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, this passage is very difficult, and I'm going to probably have an opportunity to preach based on this particular passage. So I'm not going to give you biblical exegesis on the passage, but one thing that this passage is trying to say is that there is a warning against those ones who are sinning against God intentionally and purposefully. This is a warning passage that we must take some observation. And it says, verse 4 says, for it is impossible, it says, it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put him to an open shame. So there is a warning for all those willful sinners. So if we are professing Christians, we must admit that we may fail sometimes. We may sin sometimes because of our imperfections. However, those sins should never give us pleasure. We should not dwell in pleasure. If we are dwelling in Christ Jesus, because of imperfections we sin against God, there has to be the convicting work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. When momentarily we took some pleasure out of sinful things, but sooner or later, the Spirit of God is going to minister in our hearts, and the Spirit of God is going to convicting us. He's going to convict us of our sins. He's going to bother us. And our conscience is going to be all stirred up, and everything inside of us is going to stand up against us. As a result, I have sinned. Lord, forgive me. The spirit of repentance is going to be restored in our hearts. We can repent of our sins. However, if someone says, you know, forgiveness is automatically given to me if I say sorry, God, haven't you heard me saying sorry? Then we go out for whatever things we like to do, and even in sins we dwell. That is not for properly saved and regenerated souls' responses to sin or God's forgiveness. God's forgiveness, by the way, sometimes, you know, once in a while, the Lord sharpens our conscience. And sometimes that is surely a very strong and powerful work of the Holy Spirit. But sometimes, even though there is a disturbance in our soul, we are even doing it. Beware. In your heart, if there is any trouble, there is no peace, don't do it. Do not do against the Spirit of God. Don't sin against God. Third relevant issue is this. God's forgiveness also implies that there is another side of it, which is God's divine wrath. If God forgives, then there are forgiven people. Then obviously there are people who are not forgiven. If to the forgiven there is an eternal kingdom and eternal life, forgiveness of sins are granted, then there must be something granted on those people who are not forgiven. What is it? The scripture says it is divine wrath. It is, in fact, a very logical and reasonable conclusion of our previous discussions. If not all men are the recipients of God's forgiveness, then there are people who will not be forgiven because they do not want to be forgiven. Fourth, lastly, it is important for us to know how God has forgiven the sinners. It is because God's forgiveness must be a pattern for our forgiveness toward the offenders against us. We have studied from the first main point of this message that God forgives and His forgiveness is also conditional. Repentance is required. Confession of sin is a necessary condition for forgiveness. Then how should we forgive? Some people say, don't you know that Jesus on Calvary's cross, even though people did not repent of their sins, didn't He utter the words, forgive them? Therefore, we must forgive. And forgiveness must be automatically, naturally given to all our offenders. And we should not dwell on this issue of forgiveness anymore. Well, is it so? If someone has offended you, and you are greatly hurt and offended, but because of Christian love and affection, you are saying to that person, I'm forgiving you. But that person says, I do not want to be forgiven. I don't think I have done anything wrongly against you, you know. Why you are saying you are forgiving me? Don't forgive me. Then what is going to happen? And there are a lot of situations we can think about, and those are things we are going to continue to study next week. So hopefully we'll be able to understand what it means to forgive. As a result, we'll be forgiving people as forgiven people by God. We should never take God's forgiveness for granted, by the way. It is because forgiveness is a gift through the mercies of God. Besides, there is a price paid for this forgiveness, which is a sacrifice of the Son of God and Calvary's cross. All men deserve God's eternal wrath and punishment, but He made an atonement for us, and He desires to forgive us. Therefore, what we need to do is to repent of our sins and ask the Lord to forgive our sins and to turn unto God by faith. The divine forgiveness presupposes also our forgiveness toward the fellow mankind. Last week I asked you to think about your own heart, whether there is any hatred in you, whether you are hating somebody, disliking somebody, or harboring some grudges against some people. I'm not sure how you have dealt with that matter throughout the week. And I will give you one more week. Examine your heart. And sometimes someone has never done anything against us, really. But simply, we just do not like that person. And as a result, we are not showing our favor to those individuals. And we are not kind to them. And as a reason of bitterness against certain individuals, sometimes we lose our peace in our hearts. You know, here is an interesting thing. Someone may have offended us, so we are terribly upset. Day and night we think of that guy. I hate that person. How dare he did it to me? And so at night you are having a sleepless night. So you do not want to forgive because he has never asked you to forgive. But you know, it is very possible that that person feels that he has never offended you. The person says, I wonder why that guy is so unkind to me these days. So your offender has a peaceful night and night. He sleeps very well. While, though you are saying that, you are the person who is hurt and offended by that guy, and you cannot sleep at night. While that person is sleeping a very peaceful night. And what happened to you? And what is the meaning of forgiveness in your life and my life? And I hope this week, think about it and check out your relationship with other people, whether there is a forgiving spirit on your part. And I hope that we'll be able to testify the beauty of forgiveness, maybe even next week. Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we do thank you for the biblical lessons about forgive or forgiven. Father, sometimes we feel that it is really hard to forgive. Dear Father, give us enabling grace to forgive because we are forgiven by God as well. Dear Lord, we do not want to have any grudges in our hearts. We do not want to have any root of bitterness against some people in our own hearts. Forgive our sins and help us to forgive others, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.